Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another brilliant episode of the African Excellist podcast, hosted by yours truly, Dubai Dennis. I am a stand-up comedian based here in Seattle, Washington, and I'm a community leader for Washington Coalition of African Community Leaders. And today I brought my boss, the director herself, Martha Lucas, all the way from Washington State. Welcome to the show, Miss Martha.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Miss Director is here, and she has a very important message before we get into the deep, deep, deep stuff of community work. What's your message to the people today?
So today I want to actually to highlight two really important projects that are going on, or activities that are going on for in support of our most vulnerable community members. But Relief Fund, or the outreach that is being conducted by community leaders like you,
yes,
Dubai,
yeah,
is to support our communities that are members that are undocumented to receive at least $1,000 in financial assistance. And so that's not a loan. That is nothing. It's not, you know, going to be reported to anybody. It is now in its third round. And we have already 35,000 people who have applied.
Wow.
So unfortunately, our community is a little bit slower.
Yes.
And so that's why we want to get this message out in as many ways as possible and to hit the communities most affected by the pandemic.
Correct.
And that have, you know, the vulnerable community members that really need this, that could,
yes,
use this funding.
I know a lot of people in our community, some of them are not computer savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have people within our network who can help with that?
Yes. So we have 22 applicants, assistants, and they are from the entire diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
And they are supporting community members. And it's going to be on our website as of effective today.
Yes.
That you can get their contact information, but they speak, I think we're at to 26 languages.
Wow,
so 26 major,
yeah,
African languages.
Yeah.
And they can help you do every part of the application. So for anyone who is struggling, or who, you know, needs it done, needs to be spoken to in the native language.
Yes.
They are there to assist.
Correct.
And they have been fully trained.
Mm-hmm.
They are compliant in every way.
Great.
And so we are just here to help and support, get as many of the African diaspora to get this funding.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say on behalf of other community leaders and the outreach team and all the civil engagement team that you have been pivotal in pushing for a lot of help in terms of resources,
mm-hmm,
to the community through the coalition, like, mm-hmm, from grants and all that. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us, because you inspire us also to, like, how can I push myself to give all I got to the cause? You have been in the community for a while. You've done a lot of projects, but I'm going to stick more to this year because you do a lot every year. What's been one of the most rewarding moments of this year as a community leader?
The most rewarding moment, that's a really good question, mm-hmm, first of all, I would like to say. But I have to say that, you know, sometimes we're not patient,
mm-hmm,
enough to receive the blessings. And so we quit early, we get frustrated,
yeah,
we don't like Dubai, you know, whatever. And so we say, like, you know what, it's not worth it to work with other people. It's not worth it to work with, you know, another community who doesn't, you know, has a different way of doing things.
Mm.
There's a lot of reasons to stop.
Mm.
There are a lot of challenges you go through, and
right,
I don't care if it's for a business or
right,
for a nonprofit.
Correct.
Or for your day job,
yes,
it doesn't matter. We're in constant, you know, fight and flight mode, basically, because we're always under attack. And the thing that has really kept me going is basically the belief,
mm-hmm,
and the vision that we can work together. We,
mm-hmm,
can be unified across the whole diaspora,
well,
from African American,
mm-hmm,
to Caribbean, everyone, including African, of course, but that we can all work together. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we can now tackle the large systemic, you know, challenges and, you know, the oppressive barriers that we are constantly fighting against. Correct. Right. But when we do it by ourselves, maybe we get a little bit. Like maybe for your organization, a little bit and a little bit for someone else. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But we will never be able to tackle those big challenges.
Issues. Correct.
We'll never do it alone.
Yes.
And we all have the same challenge, human resource and financial resource, right? Yeah. And so by coming together, you know, thanks to our founders, our original founders, the idea, the vision to do this work, but to actually see, and I feel like for the first time, at least for me, I saw it come through with this outreach program
too,
where, you know, having an application process for the applicant assistance, having all of these kind of processes put in place, it came together with how much we have become family in a very short period of time. I mean, you see that, like, you know, there's just struggles you deal with you know, you have, you know, staffing or short staff or whatever, and to see like 22 people literally act as one, that is what the original vision of the coalition was.
Family, community.
And all different, you know, ethnic, religious backgrounds, everybody coming together and saying, hey, you know, let me support. Do you need this? Okay, I'll help you with that. Do you need that? I can help you. But that vision was a struggle to get to.
But we're here.
But we're here.
That's the one thing we're thankful
that's
about.
The most rewarding thing.
You recently took, you were training at Yakima. How was that?
Oh, that was amazing. And Tapanish, and that was actually for the outreach, the Immigrant Relief Fund.
Okay.
And it was just amazing to see all grassroots from across the state,
Pierce,
you know, organisms, like BIPOC,
all over.
And we came together. I got my Korean sister,
shout out.
We were tabling, but it was just, it was an awesome feeling because we all understood, like, you know what, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. When you go and do a community event, hey, let me come out. And what, when I have one, you come to mine. And you need a connection in Spokane? Hey, I know somebody in Spokane.
Yeah.
We just all get it, right? When you've been doing this work.
Yeah.
And so that was just very empowering.
Empowering.
Yeah. Right. You feel like, wow, we can actually break down these barriers.
Yeah.
I mean, when this immigrant relief was originally started, I think the first round it was like 24 million.
Yeah.
We're up to 300 million
right now. Yeah, compared to the first time.
Compared to the first time.
Yeah.
Because of working together.
Yeah.
Again, would have not happened if it was just my organization.
Yes. Thank you. And for people who are a little skeptical about like this funds and this outreach programs, like the time we did the vaccination, remember when COVID people were skeptical, the feeding programs. What's the one word of advice you want to tell them of how much they're missing out from community incentives that are making life easier? Today, one of the community leaders was saying she was representing single mothers.
Yes.
And what's the importance of them being part of this family tree so they can benefit from the perks that come from the community?
That's a good question. The one thing I can say for the people that are skeptical is that if you don't take the money, someone else will. And it often may not look like you, you know. So when you turn around and complain about your inability to pay your rent, your utility, then I want you to really think about what part have you played in trying to participate, right? And and even if that's just, you know, calling back your community leader when they're asking, hey, can I help you? You know, whatever part of that is, you know, you may not be a great grant writer, but there's someone else who can do it.
Who can help you that
And far. And, you know, we also have to be appreciative of what is given or what help is out there.
Yes.
Because it is a struggle. You know, our community leaders, you know, shout out to all to all of them and you know, in the coalition, but they're doing a lot. They have their own families, they have their own jobs and their own businesses. And then on top of that, when they're trying to, you know, give their service back to feel like, you know, they're not appreciated. It's very challenging. Why people quit and they leave. Another thing is we're not good, and I'm going to just go ahead and say this.
Go ahead and say this.
We're not good at valuing our community leaders within ourselves, or our volunteers. We're not good. I am, you know, if you don't know, I've been here since I was 2 years old. I've been in America. I volunteered for over 25 years, American nonprofits, African-American, African, and there is a stark difference. I know that I can go and serve in an American nonprofit, and they will reward me with, you know, food or a gift card or sometimes compensation. But in my own community or in our communities, it's what is she getting out of it? Why is she volunteering?
They don't see it as genuine.
No, skepticism. They don't see it as there's a lot of skepticism. So you have to be patient and be able to demonstrate and sacrifice quite a bit before you can gain trust in our community. But, you know, I just want to say that, you know, you can go to an American nonprofit and it's not the same feeling. And so it saddens me because that's why we're not able to keep our leaders in the leadership. There's a high turnover.
But I think, I also think that to piggy on that, I also think that there's a lot of self-work. I had to do a lot of self-work myself the past few years, but there's a lot of self-work that's lacking within our framework, within our individual family trees, and we project it when we come into spaces like community spaces or work spaces, career spaces. Just briefly, because you know the importance of this. What's the importance of our family, our friends in the community to go to therapy?
It's very important. A lot of, so I think what, if someone to say like what maybe sets you apart in your thought process as a leader, it would be, I'm a root cause person. So you can deal with the symptom, right?
Depression, symptoms,
suicide, high suicide rates, right? You know, domestic anxiety, violence, all, you know, all of these things. You can deal, I mean, not, but like the mental instability, you know, and anxiety issues, or you can deal with the cause. And if you deal with the symptom, you're putting a band-aid at it. And it's just going to come back. Substance abuse, alcoholism. We have this in the community, right?
They know.
We know. We know. But at the end of the day, what's the cause? Is someone suffering from domestic violence? Because, you know, if you don't address that, then you're not going to really fix the other part. You're going to put a band-aid, maybe take some medication. But then we have pride and what's going on. We don't want to go to get therapy. We say that there's nothing wrong with our children, until it's too late, unfortunately. And we know, especially the pandemic has exacerbated situations, but we have had a lot of life lost, in our community from mental illness. Again, I would like to say a symptom because there's something else going on.
And we have a lot of work to do as a community. We have a lot of work to do as leaders. And I'm thankful that we've began somewhere. So we've planted a seed. We also work with a lot of youth. We worked the youth program last year, this year when the birthdays came up. What's the importance of involving the youth in a lot of our primal projects? Because I feel like, you know, that African setting, traditional kids sit at the back, your elders are here. What's important of having them in the conversation, having them in the room, discussing what affects them in their own language?
The importance of that is we all need to be connected. And we all go through, you know, different stages in life. And when a child is in the teenage, you know, stage, let's say, or, you know, preteen, you know, they're doing a lot of identity questioning and wanting to understand who they are. And they're comparing their parents with other parents, and they're comparing, you know, their peers. And when we don't bring them in the conversation, you know, unfortunately, that leads to involvement in gangs. It leads to, you know, mental illness, you know, what we're seeing presenting as mental illness. We all need to be connected. Let's never forget that we're humans and we're social by nature. And so if we don't feel connected, if our you know, if we don't have an auntie or an uncle or people we feel like we can talk
you can
to,
talk to and trust.
Yeah, that looks like us. Yes. Then we're gonna, you know, we just see what our parents do as being weird, or you know, we don't like it, but we don't have any way to really connect back and say, like, you know, my culture is important. My community is important. I have a rich history, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what the importance of the youth program has been, is it came from a birth of when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. and I was a child, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be like the people I saw on TV, mm-hmm. but because I didn't see anyone like me.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, communication on what is, you know, my
what
culture,
is missing,
what, you know, how can I cook, you know, like,
yeah.
not in the way that would have made sense for me. I mm-hmm. just want to say, I'm going to keep it real. I'm an American raised child.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't the way
that, like, I wanted it to be presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just always felt like, you know, I knew how that felt to go through that time, mm-hmm. that identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start seeing in the African community how many kids were really suffering, and it wasn't at the, like, you know, maybe there was some depression. I don't know if that was depression
too.
Or
yeah,
something.
There's that too.
But, you know, maybe I didn't know. But I'm just, but, you know, I still went to school and mm-hmm. I accomplished things and stuff like that. So it wasn't to the point of contemplating suicide.
No,
it wasn't. So when I start seeing that it was, you know, gang involvement and things that, like, I never really thought about, I could relate and say, like, wow, you know, that we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't sit on the sidelines and complain about a problem
mm-hmm.
without trying to find a solution.
The
but
solution
I knew
to
it would never happen by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the coalition to me was that first opening into the youth program
mm-hmm.
and being able to you know, structure a program that really allowed for kids to get rewarded
mm-hmm.
and to participate until they're actually wanting to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them grow, that has been very rewarding.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Martha. Thank you for that. I wanted to ask you one of the last questions,
mm-hmm.
Martha.
Should I say the... Oh, go ahead.
The last question, Martha, is... what's next for Washington Coalition? What's next? Because, pause on that. Guys, remember, you got to vote, okay? I'm stopping this part to say vote. You got to vote. All right, back to you, Martha. What's next for Washington Coalition?
We got a lot of great things going on.
Okay.
So basically, for the outreach program that we've been talking
yes.
about, I just want to make sure everyone knows that get your application in, go to immigrantreliefwa.gov, contact community leaders.
Their numbers
CEO,
after
yeah,
the videos you'll see
later.
This,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then and go to WSCACL.org. We'll have the numbers of everybody and the languages
yes.
Spoken. Again, give us until Monday to do
yes.
that.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. October 3rd or 4th. You know, but please get your applications in early and not late, because it's just a roll. They're just handing out the money until it's gone.
Yeah.
So again, it's due by November 14th. But try get it in early. And then in terms of voter education, that is the civic engagement.
You're one of the leads on that.
And so that is that our voter education work. We have translators who are doing those videos, and
yes.
we're getting that out as well. You get out the vote, October 31st. Get out to vote, and
yeah.
October 31st is a deadline to register.
Yeah.
And you can go to. We'll tag what that
we'll
is.
Tag
sorry,
that, we'll
sorry
tag,
my
we'll
bad.
Tag you on it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another brilliant show today. Just important points. Martha, our director, will be here more often times than this. It's been a long day of making sure you guys get your money before November 14th. So thank you again, Martha, in the surest Seattle, most northwest.